Hi everyone, welcome to the Knock Talk. Does the network work?
Yeah.
Good. I don't know why we bother with the monitoring system if we get that kind of response, so we can just ask. We're going to just go through a few little items, some things that came up of interest. Obviously, we're in a new building. We have different hardware that we've had before. We have all new locations, and it's been a little bit more work than previous congresses, this one, but I think we feel it's gone pretty well. Do you want to talk about the uplink?
Yep. So, yeah, this is basically our uplink pop in some data center. We have every year and at every location the same thing, like we have one dark fiber into the building. And from the building, it goes to some data center in the city, and there we just collect our upstreams and put some multiplexers and route all the traffic to the Congress location. This year, we have like 22 gigs uplink, where we had 2 times 10 gig with a full table and 2 times 1 gig with partial transit to some internet exchanges. And yeah, so it was just this small setup with like an out-of-band box, an MX80, one collecting switch for gigabit ports, and at the bottom the WDM, which is a multiplexing box where you can put like several colors on one fiber and then split it at the other side. And yeah, then we had the new building. This was the plan we got as the fiber map, and we have to figure out what was where connected. Because it's in the BCC, we had like 3 or 4 big rooms where everything runs and everything was clearly labeled. And here we have like 30 different patch rooms, but we only need like 8 or 9. Also, there was only Colt and Deutsche Telekom in the building with fibers, and we can't get there anything, so we have to build a new one. So I talked to the Hamburger Stadtwerke, which are ServTech, and they have a local fiber network here. And we built a dark fiber from the parking lot of the Radisson, where the fiber was already, and in some room here next to the Hack Center. And so we got at least 30 gigabit here and can use even more next time, if you use more bandwidth. Yeah, so we also had a lot of more patch rooms because at the BCC we just like carry 3 big 6509 from Cisco and patch everything down. We have like 8 to 9 patch rooms here where different ports, like from 2 ports to 160 ports in one room. So we have to scale, and we chose a virtual chassis solution, which we come later to. And also at the NOC, we had like a big NOC this year. We are like 25 people. We are really 15 at the BCC, and we had a lot of new guys, and it worked pretty well. And also we were expecting a lot more users, because just, yeah, we had like 4,000 individual users in the BCC, and here we have like 10, with like in wireless and wired networks, everything is a bit more and bigger.
It's a big building. This place is huge. I'm still lost.
Yeah, this was also a big problem because we don't know where the fibers are running, and it was like old multimode was like 10 years old, so we can't run. We didn't expect that we can run a 10 gig backbone here because the fibers are just too old, too shitty. But we measured them everything, and we had like only 3 or 4 pairs where we actually having trouble with the fibers and have to replace optics, use conditioning fibers, etc. Yeah, also there was a new hardware platform. We had a complete sponsoring of Juniper at the core. Yeah, they came to us and said, yeah, we would like to sponsor you, choose your equipment. And then we got to Juniper.net and just collected the biggest boxes and tons of them. So we are not so familiar with Juniper till now because we had like only an intro to like an MX240 or so and used them for BGP uplink. And now we have like the Juniper switching platform, which was quite buggy sometimes with specific issues. But yeah, the virtual chassis thing was, I think, a really good solution, and it worked out pretty well, because we can like put one 10 gig box in every room and then just stack from 1 to 5 or 6, 7, 8 X42 below for copper ports, and we have a decent backplane, which is enough for this Congress. And yeah, it worked better than expected, everything.
It was quite easy to fit these boxes in the racks because they're all 1 and 2U boxes. So instead of having massive chassis and having to try and fit those in racks, because every venue we go into already has like existing equipment in racks and we have to work around what's there. And it's been a lot easier to just go, well, we can fit this 1U box here and this one here and patch into it as required.
Yeah, for example, at the co-location, we had like three or four switches. And to us, those four switches is only one big switch. So they are all like one big chassis, and it's a lot easier to manage them because you just have one switch. You see there on the picture is like one line card, like in a big chassis. We got also a Q-Fabric from Juniper, which is like their new Cloud Layer 2 router, but we didn't use it because we didn't have a use case for this here. Because it's just like you have to do management over a copper link, and I don't want to place additional media converters in it to get the management link to everywhere, and it just didn't fit to the building. So we have them here, and we tried to play it around, but basically we had better things to do when we were not so busy. We were like really fast, and we were like finished at day 2, and day 3 were mostly spent by Nerf gun battles. Yeah, this is basically the core. This was the rest, which was left on our table. We had 8 virtual stacks. At each virtual stack, we have like one of those X4500, which are big 2RU routers with lots of 10 gig ports. And then we stack like as much X4200 as we need in this place. And this year, we also in the BCC, we have most time a flat layer 2 star, which means we have one big core router with every VLANs and IPs on it, and everything got routed there. This year we had mostly every half of the chassis we are doing actual layer 3 routing. And this was a big problem regarding V6, because we just was day 1 in the morning when someone called in, yeah, V6 is broken and the Junipers are flaky, and then we moved everything away from V6 routing from the AX platform and put in second MX we had as spare. Only for V6 routing here in the building because it was not so much traffic and we could do it on one 10 gig port.
Yeah, the particular problems we had were related to V6 neighbor discovery. There's basically limited size in the EX platform for IPv6 neighbor table entries, which is kind of like an ARP table equivalent for V6. And the data sheet lists 1,000. Which sounds like a lot, but when you have link local V6 and all this stuff, it adds up quite quickly, and we think our problems are related to that.
Yeah, for example, in wireless we had like 3,000 or 4,000 neighbor entries, and those boxes are spec'd for 1,000, so it was way too much.
So we fixed that on the second day by, as you say, moving the routing.
Yeah, we also had heat problems, as we have rooms here which are quite small. We have one room, it's called Zwergenlager, because it has the roof is like here, and there are only 2 half racks in it, and it was like we had 50 degrees or 40 in it, so it was really hot.
Yes, particular problems for the Dutch members of our team who are all very tall. And
and some day 2 or so an attack on our infrastructure as our DHCP got flooded. It was some guy who was scanning the internet here and he just missed something in the code. So we had like 600 megabits of broadcast traffic, which was a bit too much because we didn't have proper ACLs at this time. So it got hit through the whole network to the DHCP server. And now it's limited because we had it was a new player hardware platform, and so we have to figure out how we do all this rate limiting and port protection stuff properly that it works. Yeah, wireless.
Oh, Attila's going to talk about the wireless.
Okay, well, as always, we need to have a wireless network, and usually in the BCC we deploy 30 or so access points, have a beer, and the wireless usually works over the past few years with the controller solutions. But then they came, we're going to a new location and expect four more users, almost 5,000 visitors this time. And we've seen over the past few years that wireless is going to be, or is used more and more. Well, this year we've seen over 3,000 concurrent users, and that has been way less at the BCC and at the camps. And almost 9,000 unique devices, and it's suitable for all ages. So, well, hackers do sleep, so you do see. that's one too many. We use a technique that's called band select by Cisco. I'm sure that Aruba has something similar. But basically what the APs are doing, they are ignoring association requests on 2.4 gigahertz so that the client is moved to 5 gigahertz. The problem is that it doesn't work for all clients. So that's why you've been seeing multiple SSIDs that you can choose the frequency yourself. But still, most of the associated clients are on 2.4 gigahertz, while they are 802.11n. And as far as I know, if a laptop has a .n chip, most of them are 5 gigahertz capable as well. No?
Not the cell phones.
The cell phones not, but which of the cell phones has a .n? Okay. Well, we also made a nice pie chart for the clients by the vendors. Still, Apple has the most wireless users. Samsung as well. some issue that we had. Well, the Junipers have problems with neighbor discovery. The controller has that with multicast and ARP. We got messages that the multicast queue was full. We don't know if it had any effect or not. We were not able to debug it any further. I'll ask the Cisco guys if they can comment on this. But other than that, it was working. Okay, this is the problem. So about the number of users we've seen. At the top is the CCC 2 years ago. I don't have the graph from last year, but you see that there are about 1,000 concurrent users. And the bottom one is hacking at random in 2009. And well, this year. So, well, it most likely will increase next year as well.
So we always have a colo. The lovely guys in the NOC help desk take care of that. We had quite a large room this year, if I don't know if any of you saw it, but we didn't really have the room so officially, I guess. And we had these three tables, and because we had the new Juniper hardware, we were able to offer like more gigi ports because people want more gigi, and we also had some 10 gigi connected servers as well. And we did actually manage to pretty much fill the uplink, I think, on the 20 gig from the colo. We had a 10 gig only table, so it's something to think about if you are bringing a colo server. But definitely having lots of 1 gig copper has been popular there. Abuse?
Yeah, we had like no real abuse cases. We prepared this year for much. We had an abuse team dedicated, but yeah, more visitors does not mean that there are more abuse cases. So we had like 2 calls, and they were like. Satisfied in 2 minutes. I explained to them that we can't catch the user, what we cannot do, and I blackholed them in the router, so it was fine, everything. We don't have any complaints till now. Maybe there's someone hacked and they only see this in the next year when they are working again, but till now it's okay.
Yeah, what we just do is we offer them the service of we'll just make sure the Congress network never sends them traffic anymore. So this, if this satisfies people, well, that's kind of fine by us. It's nice and easy. We don't even charge for it. So, I don't know if any of you pulled your phones out while you were here, and you realised, of course, that we've moved to Hamburg, and you pulled your phone out, and then you looked, and you said, where the hell is Milton Keynes? That's actually what a lot of British people say as well, like, where the hell is Milton Keynes? it's an interesting place. Well, actually, what I'm talking about is geolocation, and this little no point pointing at my own laptop screen. This little thing here, where's that? Pineham Park. This was actually where EMF camp was in the summer. And a lot of the access points were used at EMF camp. I think we used around 30 or 40 APs there. And of course, having moved here, a lot of the geolocation services, which can run on a combination of two things. One is the MAC address of the AP. Think, oh, the users are clearly in Milton Keynes. Oh, well. But this stuff is kind of serious business now, because obviously there's a combination of IP address and MAC address of the AP. We have two net blocks here at Congress, one of which is a permanent block owned by the CCC, and the other one is a temporary block that we get. And one of the problems at the moment is you can't get the temporary, with IPv4 running out, they're quite strict on when you can get address space. And we don't get it very early, we only got the big /16 that all you guys, actually your devices sit on. We only got that on the 20th, I believe. Yep. And it doesn't make it into the geolocation database. So if any of you use, say, Google services, your phone signs into Google and it goes, you've connected from an unknown country, some kind of fraud security alert thing, or you've locked your account, did you do this? Are you really there? Sorry? Several times a day. Yeah, this sucks. We're working on obviously getting the right geolocation data in, and there's some sort of initiatives, but it's used for that security thing, and I'm sure we've all looked at like some video URLs. Oh, this content owner has decided not to make this available in your country. It's like, well, at the moment, most of you aren't in any country, as far as they're concerned. Yeah, there's obviously not a lot we can do about this, but we are trying to work with providers to run various different other conferences and things, networking, and we're trying to get geolocation working a bit better. IPv6 is actually important now. There's actually real IPv6 traffic. This is the shocking thing that we've taken away from this Congress network. I mean, we used to just piss around with it before. We'd enable V6, people would maybe use it, maybe go, oh, that's nice, that's cool, you have V6. There's actually serious traffic now on V6 since IPv6 launch day.
Those are not megabit numbers, are percentage numbers.
Yeah.
So we have like 1/4 was V6 traffic here. So it's
peaking up to 40% of inbound traffic was IPv6. That's kind of impressive. Now, what we don't do is we don't look at your traffic. We do not look at your traffic. We don't look at your traffic. We don't look at your traffic. So the thing here is we don't have so many ideas exactly where the traffic's coming from, but there is a lot of V6 content now available out there, and the big ones are Google, obviously YouTube, and chances are if you were viewing a YouTube video, it came in over V6. And we should hopefully see more of that.
Oh? What did you miss?
Oh, here we go. I did have a V6 graph in there, but that went away somewhere. Anyway, this was mainly inbound traffic for V6. Now, Congress network, as you can see on this uplink, we actually do a lot more egress traffic, peaking at something like 8 gig. 8.2, so I'm told. not really enough, actually, is it? I mean,
yeah, we had put, like 22 gigabits. So
yeah, we had 30 gig going in the building, 22 gigs out of Hamburg, and you guys just use like 8 gig. Rubbish. I might not bother if we get only don't hit more than 10 at the next Congress. It's really unacceptable.
Yeah, then we just buy VDSL or something and it's enough. Yeah, we had this year a V6 only network. We tried it this year to simulate such a bit like what it's going to be outside when you order a DSL or cable modem connection to your home and you don't get V4 because they don't have any address more than this is one of the transition solutions. It's called NAT64, and we got two A10 boxes for this, which are routing the traffic. And we tried to roll it out to you, and we used the first four edge ports on the switches, and we had a wireless SID. So actually, who tried this or who used it?
Okay. Both of you.
Yeah, so we had some trouble, and as the policy will change, but if we don't get any IP address more, this would be one of the solutions we have to run the Congress. Mm-hmm. So next year, or if you have time now, you should definitely try it, and it might work, I think, if your client supports it. Yeah, if the client supports it.
So
you need DHCP V6 and,
There's some bug bashing to be done there, we think.
Yeah.
Definitely, there's combinations of clients and things. We collected some good feedback, actually, from some users who were out there using it. So thanks for that.
Yeah.
Oh, we're at the end already.
We're done.
We actually had a new addition to the NOC this year, Nerf guns. kind of good for stress relief.
Okay, so thank you so far for the talk. Okay, if you have any more questions, we have two microphones in the room and one signal angel who will be our internet room interface. So we'll just start here.
I wanted to know how much IP space you guys got.
We have a permanent /19 for small events, and we use this because we got the /16 from RIPE only 3 days, 4 days in advance till we start to deploy it. So we had like the /19 to run our services and special interest groups in. And for the normal access net, we used the /16. And for V6, we had a /84, which 48 would be a bit small, would fit. And so we map basically the VLAN ID in it, and every VLAN has a /64.
Basically, there's a problem with the RIPE region, the RIPE NCC assign IP addresses in Europe. There's a what I call a problem with the policy, which will hopefully get changed next year, where we're only actually allowed to get temporary number resources 7 days before the event. And in a lot of cases, we've already, like, the network's up and running at that point. So we kind of have to bootstrap this with smaller bits of address space in order to then we get the big block and we can announce that and then provide service.
Okay, do we have a question from IRC? I don't know. Okay, until the microphone's working, you may ask.
Hey, awesome job.
Thanks.
You guys seem to have a lot of fun playing with cutting-edge networking hardware. I was wondering, have you considered setting up a testbed for software-defined networking or using it, actually?
We are more like we use what's already working. And
because the Juniverse supports SDN, but... I've seen it at the Congress, the Supercomputing Congress, where every switch vendor was participating, and it was horrible.
it's like we don't have so much time to deploy all this stuff. So if I would say it, yeah, we could run MPLS over the whole network, but it was like too much work. I don't know if everyone in the NOC knows how to run MPLS, and so we are just doing the basic stuff, and where we know that it works. And we are not that like trying new things anymore. Like we use the stable ones because actually you have to provide a service now and not as, yeah, sure. It's good when the internet works. It's like the internet has to work.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, maybe now the internet microphone works.
Yep, I hope it does, yeah. One question was, how many broken equipment was there?
We have like 3 broken access switches, I think, or 4, but Leon?
No cables and fibers?
Yeah, okay. Not really. Yeah, we have like 1 or 2 optics that died, mm-hmm. and yeah, I expected more, but everything worked too well.
The HPs normally keep on working unless they get too much Marta poured in them. or worse, someone just takes it home with them, then the switch is no use. But
And some people were asking which software did you use for N8-64?
Falk, we use basically everything is on the A10 box, I think.
Yeah, the N8-64 ran on the A10 boxes
and... microphone.
The NAT64 stuff run on the A10 boxes, and we had some trouble with DNS64, so we use a TOTD for that on Linux.
Okay. So for the wireless, did you actually have any measurements inside the various rooms about how much signal there is in the air?
Yeah, we...
I don't have a microphone. Sorry.
The Cisco APs, they take a lot of measurements, and I do have reports in, per AP and everything, so, yeah.
Okay. There we had basically a little thing at the first day, I think, where we went home for a short time. Mm-hmm. We ran a small test who was the biggest user in the wireless, and we found someone who was leeching with 60 Mbit for an hour in the middle of hall one. So, what the fuck?
Hi. I have a question. Have you any pictures about the rooms you're working in, where you all the stuff can't come?
A few. It's mostly chaos, but
yeah.
Do you have
some
of the disc?
Some of them are too embarrassing to put in the in the thing. But yeah, I did get some. Here's some. These are kind of arty, aren't they, really? Yes, thanks, Alex. let's make this bigger. Yeah, cables.
Yeah, so that are some installations where we only have a few patches and a rack up the wall, and yeah, then we needed a place to put the stuff.
See what I was saying about the 1U switches being kind of useful? Oh yeah.
Yeah, so this was our main core and the Wendeltreppe here. Yeah, at the bottom it's the EX45 with a 10 gig core. Then we have like 3 copper switches for the hex center and the whole area. Then there's another one which is routing only the wireless traffic, then the wireless controller, and at the top is the Nemex 80 for the V6 stuff.
It grew over time.
Yeah.
Wouldn't this into the wiki? Is
that possible? Yeah, the slides are online. After this, we can upload some pictures with them.
It's usually a bit too embarrassing to. It's like we are all professional network engineers as well, and we're like we build these wonderful creations of like beauty and stuff, and then we come to Congress.
Yeah,
and it's
least
like,
we use some. Some Velcro, so it's...
Yeah, we did use Velcro.
It's not so messy for the time and that it just stacked on top everything.
Now he's getting defensive. Yeah.
No, not really. Yeah, it's okay.
More colo pictures. I didn't want to show that photo.
Your Mac is broken. Yeah, this was the FEM data center of the streaming guys. It was in a stairway.
Yeah, probably.
Trepper.
Yeah. Stairway.
Stairway. And they just put a rack in there, and we ran 10 gig to them. And so they put their stuff also there.
Okay. So there were some access points in hall one that were hanging from the ceiling. Now, my question is, and I really hope if the answer is interesting, that we have pictures from it. How did you hang them there? Did you climb somewhere on the ceiling? Did you have ladders that got there or something?
Skyhooks.
I'm not sure this is working, but yeah, it is. We can thank our Austrian climber for that.
I really think you should have abseiled in at this point, Wolfie.
Well, actually, it's much less glamorous. There's a level above the ceiling where you can just walk on metal runways and anchor access points to it, and basically just lower them on steel cables, and that's everything.
Yeah, they're not actually hanging from the Cat 5 cables. Our crimping's not like that.
Okay. Do you have some measurement about the maximum internal traffic?
That data exists. Yeah.
Yeah, yes. We can make an aggregate of all 10 gig ports, but no, it's a bit difficult to don't measure the traffic twice or so.
Yes, it's because we have the external traffic. So how do you subtract it? It's sort of, I mean, the core is like.
Yeah, we could, but we don't really like to look so deep in the stuff. Like, S-Flow is, for my thing, a bit too deep already, because you see, like, destination IP address, so we are throwing the stuff away at the first point, which we don't need, and...
Yeah. I included it last year, so we didn't talk about it again this year, but we literally... store as little data as possible. We throw it away where we can. We keep it in RAM rather than on disk. We encrypt things.
You also have a privacy officer. He's auditing our systems at day one and checking that we don't accidentally have some log somewhere with leases in it or MAC addresses, so we don't store any data which is not really needed to run the network.
As is correct.
Do we have still questions from IRC?
Well, there are general thank yous out to the FEM guys and to the NOC. And one interesting question, were there any attacks against the CCH-Con network like last year in Berlin?
There was a network attack to them? I don't know of one, so...
Yeah, I think it was mentioned last year there was a network attack from outside to the Congress.
Ah, you mean this year? This year we don't had one. So last year we had a DOS from some Amazon VPS cloud thingy to our servers. But
DNS servers, yeah.
Yeah, but this year we have... No, not really, something from the outside.
And how many traffic did the stream alone cause, if there's data on that?
What?
How many traffic did the streams cause?
Actually, like 5 to 10 Mbit. We only relay them one time to the outside. And at the outside, the FEM had their own servers, and they relay them through several universities and data centers. So we actually have to transport the stream only one time from the inside to the outside. So I don't really know. But we had like a dashboard, and there you saw the stream users.
Oh yeah, by the way, we turned off the network, you know, like we've done that.
Ah, very good.
There we go.
Full screen. What?
You need to refresh.
Ah, yeah.
Like I said, it's turned off. I mean,
it's your computer.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are somewhere some streams. Yeah, here, and we had a really big peak with like 6,000 streaming viewers at the Fnord News Show. And so you can basically click on dashboard.congress.ccd. We collect there everything what we get, like POC users, angel shifts this year. Last year we had radiation counts. So if you have anything what is graphable data, just mention it to us and we try to integrate it.
Some of the access points hanging from the ceiling had some, some more antennas. They don't look like they come from the shelf like this. Did you modify them or what this is?
No, they actually come from the shelves like that. We have the ones that are hanging here without external antenna possibility and the ones in cell one. And I think at some other places we have the ones with external antennas.
And look, so because. Yeah, and we don't have.
No, we really have antennas in cell one on the access point.
Yeah, but these. Cable binders look like antennas.
No, we have like they look like spiders hanging from the ceiling, but it's only with black antennas because we don't have Cisco branded factory shiny
antennas.
It's just
an antenna.
It just don't make any sense, so we put our own ones on it.
Okay, do we have questions from IRC? So, because if not, that's it.
There was a question, who runs the network? Are they all volunteers or anything else?
No. Stand up, not people. Come on. Yeah, we all just work in networking. Yeah, we have people from all over, actually, from many different countries, and like not everyone is a professional network engineer. We have some people who are students and other things. So yeah, we have a reasonable selection of people, I guess.
Okay, no more questions. So thank you again.
Thanks.
You are awesome.